As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark in here alongside Kim St. Ange, Drew Young in the studio with us this morning, running the board, and Sue Thomas with your traffic. We'll get to all that for you coming up. The big breaking news overnight, the death of the Pope at age 88. All the networks are covering it, to Fox News talking about contenders to succeed Pope Francis. I was surprised to see Cardinal Burke on there, because I had always been under the impression that he was sort of on the outs, and surprised not to see Cardinal Dolan name on that list of potential top contenders. Several, at least one from Africa, and a few others mentioned on there. I mean, we don't know him for the most part here in America. I guess if you're deeply steeped in your Catholic religion, you might have a better idea on who some of the contenders are. But at least one American name up there that I saw, which surprised me a little bit. Cardinal Dolan spoke out on this a little bit earlier this morning. And, of course, I think for many of these folks, they had been preparing themselves for this. If you watch the network news coverage, they all had these stories pre-prepared. They were, I mean, I'm just pointing that out. They're slickly produced. They couldn't have thrown that together in 3 hours.
We all expected this. Once he was in the hospital with double pneumonia, he had been battling some health issues more recently. The interesting thing will be how long it takes to agree on a new pope, because the cardinals will basically be gathering at the Vatican to begin the election process. They're voting in secret ballots twice a day. And then once someone receives 2/3 majority, that person essentially wins. They're asked if they want to accept. Once they accept, that's when the white smoke is released from the Sistine Chapel chimney, basically signaling that a new pope has been chosen.
Yes. And Jonathan Morris is a commentator. He's on Fox right now. He obviously covers the Catholic religion. He's one of the religion reporters. And, you know, he pointed out something that I mentioned earlier, that this pope had not been particularly popular among conservatives, even conservatives in the church, because of some of his liberal policies. But he pointed out that, yeah, I thought it was a fair point, that regardless of what you thought of him, if you are a Christian, whether you're evangelical or Protestant or whatever it happens to be, he's the whoever is Pope is the loudest voice in the world for speaking and talking about the gospel. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets headlines like nobody else, like no other church leader in the world. And like him or not, he plays a very important role for that reason. Now, I still think a lot of people will disagree with, obviously, some of his positions on, you know, LGBTQ stuff and things like that. He actually got this one got involved in some political issues as well.
He did. And I have a feeling that's going to be the trajectory of the next several popes, especially considering he had a big hand in the current cardinals. So they would likely be probably in line with what he thinks on some of these issues. The one we keep hearing is there will likely be a cardinal from Africa who's who's chosen as the new pope.
Maybe.
Seems like that will be the front
runner.
That
seems to be some of the speculation this morning. He will not be buried in the Vatican. Unlike his predecessors, he's already picked a spot at a different spot there in Rome, I guess close to the residence he chose to live in. He did not live at the Vatican, which is unusual for a pope. So we'll continue our coverage of this for you a little later. Coming up, we're going to get to the final version of Real or Fake with our own Carl Middleman, in case you missed the announcement on Friday. Carl is leaving us for a better opportunity. And we're happy for him, but we're going to miss him a lot. He's going to come in and do his final edition of Real or Fake for us coming up. Bottom of the hour, I booked this on Friday because I think it's true. Apparently, there's a serious shortage of family physicians these days. Like to go out and get a general practitioner, they estimate the shortage at close to 90,000 nationwide because med students have different priorities these days. And we're going to talk to Dr. Bill Hennessy about that challenge coming up here 7:35, and then we'll get to Kim on a Whim before the end of the hour. Right now, Drew, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Pope Francis has died. That's come from the Vatican. We just have that breaking news.
Yeah, as we walked in the door this morning about a little after 4:20 or so, this news was just breaking here in the States, and that was the BBC bringing the news that Pope Francis had died at about 7:35 a.m. Rome time at the age of 88.
If and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated authoritarianism in our country.
We're going to authoritate those authoritarians, is what you're hearing from Jamie Raskin, who's warning we're going to be back in charge, and when we do, we're going to get even.
Kim, are these cuts for the broadcasters warranted?
Hallelujah, and it's overtime, and I can't wait for it to happen.
Yeah, Kim Strassel talking about them taking out the money from PBS. Finally, it's taken them so long to get around to doing this.
What concerns me is Van Hollen never went to the border the last 4 years on Joe Biden when he had a 600% increase in sex trafficking of women and children. You have a record number of non-inspected terrorists crossing that border.
Yeah, Tom Holman ripping Chris Van Hollen a new one this weekend on TV when he made his rounds at some of the talk shows. Holman is a straight shooter, and he's like, listen, don't go down there and tell me that you're looking out for your constituents. This guy was a gang member and an illegal, and he absolutely deserved to be deported. Maybe he shouldn't have been deported to El Salvador, but the bottom line is he's not coming back. And that's the whole thing about it. So I want to let you hear what Holman had to say. I think it's important because Chris Van Hollen came back and announced this weekend that, you know, he only met with this guy to prove that he was alive and we should be concerned about this if one person's constitutional rights are being, you know, taken away from them. The guy was not a citizen. He didn't have constitutional rights. He had three hearings in deportation courts. But that the left wants to control that because it doesn't fit their agenda. This is what Tom Holman had to say about Chris Van Hollen. Go to cut number six, please.
What concerns me is Van Hollen never went to the border the last 4 years on Joe Biden when he had a 600% increase in sex trafficking of women and children. You have a record number of non-inspected terrorists crossing that border. You had a 250,000 Americans die from fentanyl overdose because of the open border. You had over 4,000 illegal aliens died making that journey, which is an historic record. What shocks me is he's remained silent on the travesty that happened at our southern border. Many people died. Thousands of people died. I met with hundreds of angel moms and dads who buried their children that were murdered by an illegal alien. How many angel moms and dads has he met in the state of Maryland? That's what concerns me.
I wonder why some investigative journalist hasn't looked into that.
Maybe someone will. But you're right. I think what's confusing to me is this whole idea of due process. I mean, that's the number one thing I keep hearing. Tim Walz's daughter went on some rampage about it and was trying to say, oh, you know, if this Garcia guy was Jesus in this case, you know, the Trump administration would just deport him. They're saying, well, this guy, even though he's an illegal, has due process. That's found in the 5th and the 14th Amendments. Now, what's interesting, because I've been researching this morning, just so I can pass along that to all of you, is that this applies to someone whether they're a citizen or they're not. That is, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I fully understood that until today when I've been digging into this. Now, when we were talking to Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation around 6:20 this morning, and you can listen to that on the Odyssey app, by the way, he was saying that that's very limited because he is illegal and there was a ruling from a judge to deport him. That's very limited. What's confusing is, like, what is the scope of that? Because I would agree that the judge, that was his due
that
process.
That was his process.
Let's ask the question, though, why does someone who's here illegally in our country, why do they get due process? To me, if they broke the law, they came in here illegally.
Well, the due process is, we don't just throw a bag over your head and toss you back over the border. We'll put you into court in front of a deportation judge, prove that you're illegal, and then we'll deport you. That's your due process. You don't have the same constitutional rights as a citizen. And it's ridiculous for the left to argue that and claim that Donald Trump's being authoritarian. This is your fault. Your party let all of these millions of people in illegally, and now we've got the tough job of throwing them back out. So this is all your fault.
And how do they
Chris
have time? How do they have time to go through? They estimate, what, 10 million people came across the border, specifically when Biden was in office, rather.
At least.
Seriously, how do these judges have time to filter through 10 million of these cases? It's going to be 2057 before they can get through all of these cases. Meanwhile, we still have an issue with crime and all sorts of things. We have to protect our country.
The Biden administration was a complete disaster, and it created a mess that is going to take us years to dig out from under. It'll take us longer than Donald Trump will be in office to dig out from under, even in his third term. Just kidding. We'll get to a quick break here. Get Carl in here for his final real or fake right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz.
Thank
weird.
You, Carl. Why does it feel weird?
Because
you were just out of the...
You've only been in it
for 2 hours.
I know, but it feels odd.
All right.
All right, so it's time for the real or fake news quiz. Last time Drew Young won, He picked all songs about birds.
Was there a reason for that?
Yeah.
You like birds?
Why?
It was just the first song I picked. It was about a bird, or it was bird related, so.
Went with that theme.
Said
and
Carl
then he picked
in.
Another one, which was also about birds. And he's like, you picked the other seven that are about birds. So thanks.
So,
yes.
Spoiler alert. What was it, the Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
So Carl picked that one.
I picked that one.
But I got props for it, so I'll take it.
That's right.
I blamed you. I mean, I gave you credit.
Yeah.
So today I'm going to give the people in the room headlines, and they're going to tell me if they're real or fake. So, Mark, you did not win. Ethan won last week, and he's not here. So, Drew, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Real or fake, NASA accidentally sent a Roomba to the ISS. Real or fake?
Accidentally. I'm going to say fake.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to say fake.
Kim Sainaj.
I'll say real.
It's fake.
All right. I don't think much gets accidentally loaded onto the space shuttle.
Because weight is so important.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mark Cox, real or fake, a quote-unquote time traveler was arrested in Cleveland for spoiling Super Bowl 2029. Real or fake?
Fake.
Kim Sainaj.
Fake.
You said quote-unquote?
Quote-unquote, a time traveler was arrested in Cleveland for spoiling Super Bowl 2029.
I don't want to tie Kim, but I'm going to say real.
It's fake.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, I'm sure there are some mentally ill people.
The headline.
2029.
I'm just going off the headline.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you.
All right. Kim St. Ange, real or fake? Cracker Barrel says it might have to shrink biscuits because of tariffs. Real or fake?
We'll say real.
Let's say real.
I'm going to go with fake.
It's fake.
Oof, Mark is sweeping
Mark is
right
winning.
Now. I have a friend who works for Cracker Barrel. They're not shrinking their biscuits. Trust me.
Drian, real or fake, we know that Halloween is number one for chocolate sales, but Easter is number three after Halloween. Real or fake?
Wait, you said Halloween's number one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I lied. I read that wrong. Halloween is number one for chocolate sales, but Easter is number three after Valentine's Day.
I'm going to say real.
Mark Cox.
I'll go with real on that one.
Kim St. Ange.
I think I'll say real.
It's fake.
I almost said fake, but you didn't.
Easter is number two, then Valentine's Day.
What's the score?
What's the score? You and Kim are tied at one. Mark has three.
It's shocking.
They sell twice as many chocolate things for Halloween than Easter.
Can we go double points here?
No. But, Mark
nice
Cox,
try.
You're up. Real or fake, New York City has more subway riders than anywhere in the country. Chicago is number two. Real or fake?
I will go real on that.
Kim St. Ange.
I feel like that has to be real.
Real.
Well, does that mean that you're saying it's
real?
Yeah,
I'm going to say real.
Real?
It's fake.
What?
It's Washington, D.C. is number two.
Really?
Chicago
That's
is
fair.
Number three. I didn't know that until.
I just hear of everyone riding that in Chicago.
Did you guys take the subway or anything when you went to D.C.?
From Jersey over into the city, we did, but not in New York City proper.
No, when
Todd Pyro told us not to.
when we were in D.C., I met my sister at.
Oh, you mean in D.C.?
My sister-in-law at the station.
Yes,
but we did not.
We did not personally ride.
We rented scooters.
Yes.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? Rotten Tomatoes was created by a Jackie Chan fan in anticipation of the movie Rush Hour.
Have no idea. I will say fake.
Real.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go with real.
It is real.
I'm killing it.
That's, wow, Mark's, I mean, it doesn't matter because.
Winning.
Mark Cox is your winner today.
Carl Middleman, we're going to miss you, my friend. Can I just tell you that?
Yes. I might still write these for Ethan.
But we wish you the very best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I will miss you guys, and I won't miss doing this because you guys are too smart for that, usually.
I don't know about that.
Carl, abandon us.
Coming up, we're going to get to the question of whether or not there's a huge shortage in America of medical doctors for your family. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, you know, a little earlier, before we get to our guest here, I had mentioned the fact, Kim, that Dr. Anthony Fauci is going to be coming to St. Louis. And we just found out that in his first year after leaving government, he made $3.5 million in speaking fees. There were that many people interested in hearing his lies in person, and they paid him on average $100,000 per speaking appearance. And then I find out he's coming to Maryville University. And I was interested to know what it would cost to for people who are going there to see him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a single ticket. You have to subscribe to the whole speaker series is how they get you. So it's the cheapest ticket, as I found on here, is $475. That's for open seating. And then there are two more levels above that. I guess if you want platinum seating, it's $655 for the series. You get it's one subscription, one price, and seven different speakers over the course of the season.
It's always better hearing lies in person. There's just something about that experience that's just top notch.
So if you really want to go hear Anthony and contribute to his $100,000 speaking fee, it is 475 smackaroos. And that's if there are any seats left. It's at Powell Hall is where they do this on North Grand. So that is how Maryville University chooses to spend their endowment money and maybe their tuition money. I don't know. I don't know who pays for it.
Why don't we go,
speaker,
Mark?
Speaker fees aren't going to pay if he's the most expensive speaker at $100,000 and everybody else charges less. There's no way they're going to make $200,000 on that thing.
But people will be willing. Happen. People will be willing to fork over that money just to see Fauci.
I guess
they don't even maybe care about the other speakers.
Well, they probably don't. If I had to guess, that's what's going on with that. Drew, do I see our guest on there? All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. We talked about the fact that America is in need of more family physicians. What is going on here? Appears to be a shortage. You got Dr. Bill Hennessy joining us. He's an associate professor of political science at Tarleton State University. And Dr. Hennessy, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm actually self-employed co-founder of CareGuide.
Oh, awesome.
A medical cost savings company, but that's okay. A belated Happy Easter.
They must have gotten the title wrong for me here. I apologize for that. Happy Easter to you, sir. We had to have seen this coming, right? If there's a shortage of family physicians?
Yes. There's about 900,000 physicians in the United States. So the report that we're talking about says 90,000 short. I think it's probably going to be more. And there's three key reasons. The electronic medical record, how much a medical student education costs, and the third would be women in healthcare.
Wow. So I would assume that how much a medical education costs plays into the fact that they need to make more money once they're finally able to get their medical certification and work.
Correct. Follow the money. If you're paying $300,000 for a 4-year medical student college degree, and then before that you might have $50,000 to $100,000 or more from your undergraduate degree, good luck making $175,000, taking taxes out of that, and already having a $400,000 mortgage, and that's not really a mortgage. That happens to be your student loan debt.
I have a couple questions. You said women in healthcare. How does that tie in?
Well, back in the 1970s, only 7% of women or physicians were women. Now it's half of them. They say they wanted to be treated equal, but they don't. They want to have kids and raise families.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
sure.
They're working. Now we got half of the physician workforce working part-time.
Oh,
I know there's some working full-time, but there's a lot more part-time women physician workers than there are male counterparts.
So Dr. Hennessy, I'm surprised to hear those numbers in terms of what a family practitioner can make. Are these people like that are independent? They have their own office? Because I've heard it related before that people who are coming out of school that are going into like emergency medicine and all of this are making $500,000 or $600,000 a year.
They're not making that much a year. I mean, you got a lot of ER doctors still making between $200,000 and $300,000. They're not making that much, but there are plenty of primary care physicians making under $200,000. They need to make more. They work hard. I think they should make more. They should be reimbursed higher.
Do you think there's anything at play here with the increasing popularity in concierge medicine, where it's kind of a fee that you pay and then basically they're on call? Because I know that people have said that even if they have a family doctor, that you're trying to get an appointment and you're having to book out months and months and months. And so people don't want to wait. So they're willing to pay more for the concierge doctor, or they're saying, forget it, I'm just going to go to the urgent care.
You're exactly right. That's happening on both accounts. 100 million Americans do not have a primary care doctor. A lot of them between ages 20 and 40 will just use the urgent care if they needed a doc. What you're saying is absolutely true. Now, it's called DPC, direct primary care. Fees can often range between $50 to $75 a month, but you get a hold of your doctor whenever you want. And the only problem with that is it can't be wide scale. It works. It works well. Multiply the numbers I gave you times 12. It's a lot less than what you pay for health insurance, but 99 out of 100 of us only need health care in any given year.
Yeah.
So it's a very effective tool, but 2 out of 3 of the 900,000 physicians are employed by hospitals. They're not your direct primary care concierge doctors. Those are controlled by the hospital systems to make the most money off of each one of us. So we're pulling from the 1 out of 3 that are independent.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, I mean, the shortage then is obvious. And then on the consumer side, you've still got the expense of health care. Is that what Care Guide Advocates is all about?
Yes, we're saving money before and after care. So before care, we can tell you where to go and what to pay. You may get a bill, but it's not going to be a surprise bill. It's going to be a fair one. And afterward, we have a program called Hospital Bill Eraser. When you see that big number in an unitemized bill and you know you're being ripped off, you say two words, hello, Care Guide. We're going to take on the hospital for you and give them a taste of their own medicine.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I my mother was hospitalized. She's got a Cadillac health care plan. She's a retired teacher. She's got a, you know, Aetna and Medicare and all that stuff. And I think her hospital bill was like $48,000, and she ended up having to pay like $500. Mm-hmm. But you know that she was in the hospital for 7 or 8 days, and then she was in a nursing situation after that for a little while for rehab. I couldn't believe how much it was, and you got to assume some of those are $100 Band-Aids, right?
There is, I call them billing shenanigans and federal violations in every hospital bill, directly or indirectly, and I mean every single one. So we beat up the hospitals significantly. Under the Affordable Care Act, nonprofit hospitals have to give back free and discounted care. 100 million people qualify for free or discounted care. They just don't know to speak to the financial counselor of the hospital. Best thing we can do, folks, is stay healthy.
Yep.
I do want to touch one more. The third reason was the electronic medical record. You hate them, and we doctors hate them. Those are those damn iPads we stare at instead of looking at you and having a human-to-human interaction.
Yeah.
They slow the average doctor down by 25%. So even a smart, software-savvy physician is slowed down 25%. There's your 25% physician shortage. Get rid of the current damn EMR that's just being used to make the hospital money. And there's no physician shortage.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Dr. Bill Hennessy, we appreciate your time. Where can people find out more about Care Guide?
CGASaves.com. That stands for Care Guide Advocates. CGASaves.com. Putting the care back into healthcare.
You bet. Dr. Hennessy, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Take care of yourself. That's interesting. He was telling me some stuff I hadn't heard on there before.
A lot of people, myself included, have used telehealth, and those are not your family physicians. You don't even want to leave. You feel like crap. You're just looking to get some sort of a diagnosis so you can get medicine. So you just basically FaceTime a doctor. So I think there's a lot of reasons why they're not doing this. And to his point, I mean, talking about some of the things, the charges with hospitals, if you do not have insurance, your bill will be far less than if you have insurance. That is messed up, where if you're going through an insurance company, it seems like they jack up the rate because they know that they can likely get more.
Well, they also have to ring the cash register. These big healthcare conglomerates and most doctors' offices are connected to hospital systems now have put rules in place that you have to ring the cash register. I get a notification the other day that one of my mother's medications was not renewed, right? And we had to call in to try to figure out why the doctor had not renewed her prescription for a certain medication that she has to have. I found out it's because it had been more than 6 months since she had an office visit.
Mm.
So in other words, even if she's doing just fine, you got to come in and ring the register in order to get your next prescription.
Yeah.
That's sort of the message I got from that.
That's 100% it.
That's
it's
absolutely
like for your eye health. I have contacts and I'm telling you, I know that my prescription has not changed, but they will not give you new contacts until you have an annual exam and you have to prove that.
Yep.
So it's just another way to cha-ching, make more money.
I'm with you. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the Pope.
Yeah, we've been talking all morning, this big breaking news. Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. But just here in the last couple of minutes, we have new information. A possible cause of death has just been revealed.
But then surprising many as Pope by bluntly taking on controversial causes, speaking out against the invasion of Ukraine. Criticizing those who wouldn't wear masks during the pandemic, calling couples who had pets instead of children selfish, and as the first pope to address a joint session of Congress, challenging the U.S. to open its arms to refugees and abolish the death penalty.
Kim on a whim.
No doubt Pope Francis was controversial, and the big news we've been talking about this morning is that he passed away at the age of 88 this morning, around 7:30, just after 7:30 Rome time. And now, just within the last handful of minutes, the Italian media has released a possible cause of death. They believe that he died due to cerebral hemorrhage, possibly a stroke, which they're saying is said to be unrelated to the respiratory problems that you'll remember he had in February. He was in the hospital for quite some time with double pneumonia. He was then put on rest when he was finally released. He was just making an appearance yesterday for Easter. He was riding on his, what do they call it, the Pope Mobile? I think they have a different name for it now, but he was riding around. He met with Vice President J.D. Vance, who I guess would have been one of the last people to see him before he passed. Vance, by the way, tweeted out about 4 hours ago that he had just learned about it. My heart goes out to the millions of Christians all over the world who loved him. I was happy to see him yesterday, though he was obviously very ill. But I'll always remember him, and he posted some homily that he'd given in the early days of COVID.
So the headline in the Daily Mail this morning is that Pope Francis' final awkward moment with J.D. Vance, because the two of them had disagreed over the illegal migrant deportations in the U.S. Now, I don't know that even came up yesterday in their meeting.
I doubt it.
But the Daily Mail is claiming it was an awkward moment.
Well,
the Pope gave them chocolate Easter bunnies and all kinds of stuff when they were there. How could that have been awkward?
Did Vance get a chocolate bunny?
His kids did, certainly. Yeah.
You know, Francis was also outspoken about Latin Mass. I don't believe he was too keen on that. He was very outspoken about LGBTQ and more or less saying, you know, who am I to judge? So that was controversial. The question is, who's going to be replacing him? Essentially, what's going to happen is that all the cardinals are going to be gathering at the Vatican. They're going to be doing these secret ballots about twice a day, morning and afternoon. Once a candidate receives 2/3 majority, then they're asked if, hey, would you like to accept the election? And then the white smoke, once they've agreed on that, the white smoke will be released from the Sistine Chapel chimney, which essentially signals a new pope has been chosen. We've seen 8, 9 or so candidates, these cardinals who have been rumored as contenders. One of them being from Africa, several Italian. How long this process will take, how long it will take them to agree to get somebody to get 2/3 majority vote, we'll see. But I mean, it's a good chance that the stance that Pope Francis had on some of these key issues will likely be seen in the new pope, because he had a big hand in the current cardinals who will be choosing a new leader.
It's true. I got to see him doing a mass when we were there last year in St. Peter's Square. They moved it indoors, I think, because it was going to rain that day. But it was televised. They had the big TV monitors outside on the square, and you could see the Pope giving his mass, and they had the chairs pulled out and everything. A few people were in the audience, but I think it was raining that day, if I remember correctly. But even as, you know, as a non-Catholic, we took our tour of the Vatican, and it's pretty impressive.
It's historic.
And it's behind big walls.
I would imagine.
Even though he apparently didn't think we needed to have any.
But I'm bummed. Yeah, I mean... I'm disappointed in some of the stances Pope Francis take. Like you said, I'm not Catholic, so it's not like it directly affected me, but I didn't like the direction he was taking the Catholic Church.
And it's not going to get any better.
No, it's not. I don't think it will be.
Just say that, because he apparently has appointed half of the cardinals that are going to be picking the new pope, so there's a decent chance that they might agree with him theologically or politically, whatever his point of view was. On a lot of these issues. You know, Cardinal Dolan is speaking right now. Mm-hmm. Should we try to dip into this, Drew, if you could pull up Fox here for a moment? Cardinal Dolan from St. Louis.
Term, a Latin term, sede vacante. The chair is empty. The chair of St. Peter. We got his chair in which he sat when he came to New York. It's in the sanctuary, empty, okay? So communally, there's a sense of sadness. Personally, I feel a sense of loss because, I mean, I can't say I knew him extraordinarily well, but I was pretty close to him as being in the conclave that elected him and being with him dozens of times during his 12 years of pontificate. And he was extraordinarily sensitive. I won't forget when he called me when my mom died. I won't forget when he called in the middle of COVID, just when COVID had started, to say, how are things in New York?
Wow.
I won't forget.
I had no idea. He will be one of the Cardinals, obviously, that gets to vote for him. They've got to be at least, they've got to be under 80. Dolan is 75.
By the way, Fox is breaking that the Pope's body will be put in the coffin 1 o'clock our time. So things are moving very quickly, it sounds like.
Yes, they are. All right. A quick break here. We'll get to Jesse Jane Duff from the White House lawn where the Easter egg hunt is taking part when we come back.
Get more at 971talk.com.